How's your life going? Life going pretty good? How is life? Going pretty good, or is it getting you down? Do the cares, things, something happen with you that's getting you down? Are you yielding to temptation? Is life getting you down, or are you pretty much up? Speaking of life, what is life? What is our purpose here in life? You ever hear anybody say, like, especially in the, well, you ever hear anybody say, what's the purpose of life? What is life? It's to serve God, isn't it? Aren't we here on this earth to serve God? Is that not our primary purpose? To do His will. To follow His commandments. To do what is right. To be examples. Genesis 2 and 15 says Adam was put in the garden to what? Dress it and keep it, right? To do what God wanted him to do. You ever lose your focus in the world? What is your focus? Ephesians 6 and 12 says to lay hold on what? Eternal life. I think it's Ephesians 6 and 12. Lay hold on eternal life. Isn't that what the scriptures tell us to do? You ever lose that focus? I think there's a lot of people in the world that have lost that focus, but have you as a Christian lost that focus? I think even Christians lose it. We're here first and foremost to serve God. I'd like to go to Hebrews 12 and 28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. Let us have grace. One of the translations I had in that says, hold fast, be strong. I've not really heard that take on that phrase before. Hold fast, be strong. Another one cling to the grace. Hold on to the grace of God. But it says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Or we may serve God acceptably. Okay? Paul speaks about serving God in Romans 1 and 9 and chapter 7 of Romans. Verses 6 and 25. Serving God. How many verses in the Old Testament have you read about serving God? There's a lot of people that claim to serve God, but they only want to do it as advisors. Right? They don't want to do it according to what God wants. They don't want to do it acceptably. They want to do whatever feels good. There are beliefs that there is no hell. There are beliefs that you don't need baptism, that you can't fall from the church, that you don't have to have the Lord's Supper every week, that abortion is okay, and that everyone is accepted no matter how they live their life. There are a lot of people, even in the church, who are standing on the promises, but all they're doing is sitting in the premises. We've taken God out of our schools, taken God out of our governments, we've taken God out of our lives. I'm here to tell you this morning, do not take God out of your life. Don't walk out of here and forget about it till the next time you decide to come. Serve God acceptably. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The what? The whole duty of man. 1 John 3, verses 22 and 24. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Verse 24, and he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. John 14, verses 23, 24. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. He who loveth me keepeth my words. Keep the commandments. Keep the Bible. Keep the word to the absolute best of your ability. There's a story I got on the internet that it was called The Fern and the Bamboo. And it told about a man who decided to quit. And I kind of related to that because, boy, there's some things I'd like to quit. But this guy decided to quit his job, quit his family, wanted to quit life. Pretty down, pretty discouraged, pretty depressed. And he was praying to God, and God said to him, I made the world, and I made the fern and the bamboo. And the first year, the fern grew and covered the whole forest with a blanket of lush greenery. Didn't get anything out of the bamboo. Said the next year, the fern came up again, covered the whole forest floor with lush greenery. That makes a pretty good picture. I like that, lush greenery. Makes a pretty good picture, doesn't it? Didn't get anything out of the bamboo. The third year came up, same thing happened. Didn't get anything out of the bamboo. Fourth year, same thing. Didn't get anything out of the bamboo. Then the fifth year happened, and the fern came up and covered the forest floor with lush greenery. Bamboo had a little sprout about like that. And by the end of the year, the bamboo was over 100 feet high. And the man said, but Lord, what does that have to do with me? And God says, you will rise high. The first 5 years, that bamboo was building roots. Roots. Building a good, strong root bed so that it could survive for years to come. So that it could rise as high as it rose. You will rise high. I've been waiting on you. And the man said, how high will I rise? And God said, as high as you possibly can. As high as you possibly can. You best be serving God to the best of your ability, acceptably and according to His word, and not letting the world get you down. Do you let the cares and the problems of this world, problems with your job, problems with your family, problems with your life, get you down to the point that you're depressed enough that you lose your focus on what it is you're supposed to be striving for? Remember Moses. If you think you've got stress, Moses started out as a basket case. I got more of those. There's going to be more. You know, I've told several in here about going to work one day, and my boss came up to me and he says, you've got to go here for this training. You've got to go here for this training. I said, wait a minute. I says, I've got this all taken care of. Well, no, you've got to go get more because some of that we had earlier in the year may not count. So you've got to go here and you've got to go there. And I was a little less than happy. And I didn't want to go. The older I get, the more set in my ways I get, the more I like my routine. I don't know if any of you found that to be the case, but it certainly is the case with me. Anything that disrupts my routine disrupts me. And I don't know maybe I need to lighten up a little. Maybe it's not just age. Maybe it's just me. But I'm more comfortable when I don't have to put out as much effort as I did 30 years ago. And being in my routine allows me not to put forth that much effort. Well, I wasn't very happy. And then to top it all off, the guy I was going with wanted me to meet him at Ames at 7 o'clock in the p.m. 7 o'clock p.m. to drive to Minneapolis, Minnesota. That'd get us up to Minneapolis about 10:30 in the night. 10:30, that's 10:30 in the p.m. That's p.m. That's another thing. I get tired, you know. So, wasn't happy about that either. But rather than, you know, I didn't want to make waves, so I decided sure, I'll meet you in Ames. He said, he first started out and he says, I'll take care of the rental car so you won't have to do that. I said, great. That's great. And then he says, and I'll meet you up here at 7 o'clock p.m. And I said, not so great. But, you know, I struggled with it. I didn't want to go. I was irritated about the whole thing. I had to vent. I vented to several of you in here. I have to vent because it helps me feel better. But, you know, we took off at 7 o'clock from Ames, Iowa to drive to Minneapolis, and the traffic wasn't bad. Actually, it was a pleasant drive. And, you know, when you get to Minneapolis, Minnesota at 10 o'clock at night, there isn't a whole lot of traffic. Traffic is pretty good. I've been in Minneapolis during rush hour. I think it's horrendous. But actually, it's St. Paul, but it's still, it wasn't bad. And actually, it was a pleasant journey. That guy and I had a good conversation on the way up, and it didn't seem like it lasted very long, and it wasn't too bad. And we got to the class, and I don't like those things either. But you know, the class didn't go too bad. And now I'm back, and I look back on those last 2 weeks, it wasn't that bad. You know, there wasn't really, and we got neat stuff. I mean, I got a bag, I got an overnight bag, I got this folder. Leather, see? Leather. Got a calculator in it. Once again, life is good. Good pen, pencil, life is good, once again. And I look back on those 3 or 4 days, and it wasn't that bad, you know. There was really no need to lose focus. There's a department in where I work, and it's called the distribution department. I worked in it for 10 years. And that department is a department that responds to your call when your lights are out. For those of you who don't know, I work for Mid-America Energy. But the distribution department takes care of the lines from the substations that go to your house. When you call in to customer service and say your lights are out, that order goes to the distribution folks and they get somebody out to take care of it. Stressful job. High stress job. At one time, there were 20 people in that department and 5 of them had developed diverticulitis. Now, that's 25% of the department. That's way above average. Way, way above average. And 3 of the guys I talked to that had it, a couple of guys had to have colon. They had to have operations on their colon. But three of the guys said that they had, it was one of the causes of diverticulitis stress. They would not say job stress, but they said part of the contributing factor to this disease is stress. Now, when 25% of the department has it, you can about guess that it's job related. But that's stress. That's a lot of stress. And we have that in our lives, don't we? We have worries, cares, worldly stress. And if they get you down to the point that you're so depressed, you lose your focus on laying hold of eternal life, then you better rethink your thinking. Don't you think? There are people even in the church that let things on this world get them down so bad that they're depressed day after day after day. Now, I'm not talking about clinical depression. If you were at the spring meeting at Dean Avenue last year, Greg Engel mentioned clinical depression. There are chemical imbalances which require treatment, and that's clinical. I want to stay in the context here of losing your focus on eternal life. Maybe if you're thinking that things have got you so down that you can't take it, maybe you've lost your focus on eternal life. Maybe your Christian values aren't as strong as you think they are. Maybe they're not as strong as you should be. Maybe you should look more toward that hope of eternal life, toward paradise, knowing that the things on this earth pale in comparison to burning in the everlasting fires of hell. Correct? Whatever happens on this earth, and it can get really bad, but it pales in comparison to eternity. Matthew 6, 25 through 34 talks about the lilies of the field, and what do they, it first talks about the birds of the air. What do they not do? Sow or reap, right? But what does God do to them? He feeds them. The lilies of the field don't toil or spin, but what does God do with them? He arrays them in finery such as Solomon didn't see. And then it goes on to say about you, and you, and you, and you. And what does it say? That you're much more important than the birds of the field, birds of the air and the lilies of the field, right? The flowers of the field. God knows what you need. Seek first the kingdom. That's what He wants from you. Don't worry so much about the things of this world that you neglect to seek first the kingdom. Because if that's what happens to you, you better think again. I think we fail in this a lot, and it's hard not to. Things in this world can get pretty bad. God promises you a safe landing, not necessarily a calm flight. As long as you're on earth, you're going to have trouble. Deal with it. Then get over it. Then get on with laying hold of eternal life. What about temptation? What does the song say? Yield not to temptation, for yielding is what? Sin. Okay? And sin, when it is finished, to a man who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, the eternal fires of hell. Yield not to temptation. They say opportunity knocks once. Temptation is going to bang on your front door as long as you're on this earth. Resist it. What's Satan called when he comes to tempt Jesus? When he comes to after... Gave that away, didn't I? I wanted to phrase that by saying, what is Satan called when he comes to Jesus after Jesus has fasted for 40 days and 40 nights? He's called the tempter, right? The tempter. Is Satan not called the tempter? Is Satan not eternal? Is he not going to be on this earth as long as the earth is here? And is he not wise in what pulls you away? Does he not know what pulls each and every one of you away? Resist it. Yield not to temptation. The Bible calls sin pleasure. Does it not? Anybody know where that is? Talks about Moses. Rather than enjoy the pleasures, he left the court of Pharaoh, rather than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. It qualifies it. The pleasure of sin. And then it says, for a season. For a season. Your life is for a season. Eternity is forever. Eternity is forever. Life is a chore, a work, a task. A task lying before you. But the task lying before you is not as great as the power behind you. You have to follow the word. You have to be strong. Ephesians 6 and 10. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Remember that the will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not protect you. Your life won't go so far that you can't get back. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, whenever you're tempted, God will what? Find a way what? To escape. He'll find a way to escape. Is not God your almighty, all-powerful creator? Praise Him. Praise God. Psalm 63:3. My lips shall praise Thee. Psalms 19:1. I shall praise Thee. If you want to know how to praise God, read Psalms. 2 Samuel 2:24. I shall call upon the Lord and I shall praise Him who is worthy to be praised. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Just like the song says. Serve Him. Keep His commandment. James 4:13-15. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. What is your life? A vapor. How is your life a vapor? Well, believe me, it's a vapor when you compare it to eternity. That long. Remember, eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever. For that ye ought to say what? If the Lord will. If it be God's will. Why? If it be God's will? Because you are putting God's will first in your life. You should always remember that God's will comes first in your life. You are to serve God with all your might. That means not yielding to temptation. That means not doing whatever feels good, as is in the case of our world nowadays. Don't be drawn away by that. You do not convolute the scriptures so that you can do what feels good. You serve God acceptably according to what's in here. And this, the word of God, is eternal. It doesn't change because we're in the 2000s. How many times have you heard, oh, it's the 80s. Oh, it's the 90s. Oh, it's the thousands? Is that one? Now we say it's the zeros? Whatever it is, you know, this is the 2000s. You know, things have changed. God's word doesn't change. Remember your hope of eternal life. Don't lose focus on your purpose here on this earth. Lay hold of eternal life. Don't let the cares, the worries of this world make you lose focus on that. Don't yield to temptation because it feels good. Serve God with all your might. One of the things you have to do in serving God is to be baptized, to follow, to do the works. We were talking in our 7th, 8th, and 9th grade class today about doing works. You know, there are beliefs that all you need is faith to save you. You don't need works. But the last chapter of the second book of James says, faith without works is dead. I'd like to see some of the people that believe you don't need works, I'd like to see what they have to say about that verse. Faith without... Baptism is a work. Baptism is one of the works that God wants us to do. I wouldn't want to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ not having been baptized, would you? Mark 16:16, he who believeth and is baptized shall be saved. 1 Peter 3:21, this water doth symbolize baptism, which doth now save you. Okay, verse after verse after verse. It's a work, and it's a work that needs to be done in your life as part of serving God to the best of your ability. So we invite you to come forward to be baptized if you have the need, or to take care of any other issue that needs to be addressed before the congregation. We'll stand and sing.